What is up, everyone? We know that the journey of business is a tough one. We know there's ups and downs every single day. We also, at least a lot of the people listening, know that parenting is the same thing. Raising a family, the unpredictability, the emotional roller coaster that comes with having a few little people in your house who you now have to keep alive alongside the rest of your life. It's a nightmare, but it's also very, very worthwhile. So what happens when your kids leave the home? What happens when they don't need you so much anymore? Can that be a difficult time? Well, apparently it can be a very difficult time for a lot of people, something I'm yet to experience. But our guest today, Tanya Biddle, is here to help with this transition. She's working as a self-empowerment and accountability coach to help mums especially redefine and re-engage that sense of purpose and energy when they no longer need to dedicate themselves to their family, when their kids have sacked them, for lack of a better word, when they don't need to be involved in every aspect of looking after them and helping them through their lives. What do they do next? It can be very, very easy to lose a sense of purpose and to lose a sense of who you are when you're no longer just a full-time mum. So thank goodness we have Tanya Biddle here to help you to find those passions, those purposes, the paths to follow, and how to get started on that journey, even if you do feel a little bit lost no longer being the full-time parent. So, guys, this is an incredible conversation. Not much business talk today. More so personal development, goal setting, the simple things we can forget to do on a daily basis. And I really, really enjoyed it. A couple of swear words in this one, just so you know, if there's any kids listening, but I doubt there are. So here she is. I really love this one. Tanya Biddle on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to Coaches to the Moon, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about parenting a lot on this podcast, but today we've got a full-on expert. We're going right into an area of parenting that I don't think gets talked about nearly enough, something that I'm really, really interested to learn about. And to do so, I've got an amazing guest, a new friend, Tanya Biddle, who is an accountability and self-empowerment coach helping women, mums in their 40s and 50s who have been, in her words, sacked by their teenage children to find that sense of purpose, to rediscover themselves, make time for their passions rather than just waiting till their grandkids come along, is what she just said to me. So all the way from the sunny Gold Coast, but nonetheless complaining about the weather, here she is, Tanya Biddle. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, Alex. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
We were just talking before about how I always really, really connect with the parents on the podcast, and usually in the sense of like, how do you balance parenting and business, which is always fun, but we never dig too much into it because I'm always conscious of keeping it as a business podcast. But in today's episode, this is your business. And it's not that you're a parenting coach, quite the opposite. You're actually helping people who have become parents and then they've gone through the bulk of where your kids are not so self-sufficient to the point where, as you said, you're on a need-to-know basis and don't need to know much at all. So that's a very, very interesting journey. I'd just love to know, how did this come about for you? Is there a personal experience in there that drew you to this kind of coaching?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, I had that belief when I was first a mum that that in order to be a good mum, I had to basically suffer and sacrifice and give up all of myself so that, you know, my kids and my partner to some extent were happy. And that was it. And that anything that I wanted to do would have to wait until later. And that wasn't a specific time. It was just, no, you can do that later. There will be time for that later. And I spent so many hours on the sidelines of my kids' sport talking to mums in the same boat who were, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, write a children's book of poetry, or I've always wanted to, you know, be a party planner for kids' birthdays. But I can't because I've got kids and a husband. And I definitely didn't recognize it in myself, but I recognized it in them. I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you putting your life off for your family? And so that was initially what got me into coaching, because I thought, like, I've got to change this. This is not the life that I want to live. And it's certainly not the life that I want my daughter to live. I don't want to be that mum that, you know, tells my daughter, you can be anything you want to be, babe. And then when she gets married, I'm like, no, now you can't be anything you want. You have to sacrifice everything for your kids and make sure that your family is happy. So I think the actual sacking starts at a really early age. It's, you know, you're dropping your kids off at school and they're like, don't kiss me in front of my friends. You don't need to walk in anymore. You know, so that kind of process starts really early. And it was always the plan. I mean, we don't, you know, have kids so that they can, you know, be under our roofs and under our feet and living out of our pantries for the rest of our lives. We have kids so that they can be independent, you know, responsible, reliable human beings that we send off in the world, off into the world to, you know, make this place a better place. But a lot of the time we don't have a plan B. It's like, okay, like I've, you know, and there's definitely a mourning that mums go through. They're like, oh my God, like I've put all this time and energy. And now, you know, at one point I was the center of the universe. Now I feel more like Uranus and they're just off living their best life. And I'm like, what the hell do I do now?
Fair enough. Yeah, no, it sounds like it would be incredibly relatable and something that, you know, I even see little bits of it now with having almost 3-year-olds. On Sunday was our last swimming lesson where we'll be in the pool with them, you know, next. And I got a little bit sort of emotional about that. I was like, I love these swimming lessons. I love jumping in and playing with them. And then now from next term, I'm just sitting on the sidelines. Even that little thing, I was like, that's the first one where it's really like, ooh, yeah, you know, bit of independence, because they don't have much. They don't have much independence too. Yeah. But super interesting. And so, do you feel like when you were talking about things that mums wish they wanted to do, it was kind of their own ventures. Do you see this more so with mums who have a dream of a business or a creative or a passion that they want to follow, rather than mums with careers employed by other people? Because it feels to me like if someone's got a job, then they have a kid, then they're completely fine going back to the job. Like there's not much resistance around that for most people. They're ready to get back to work, whether it's part-time or full-time. But yeah, do you see a difference between people who are traditionally employed and people who just have a dream for themselves?
Yeah, I think that from the experience that I've had with different mums, there is a distinct difference. And the mums who are working, what they tend to crave is just time for themselves. It's just something for themselves. They don't necessarily want to create a side hustle or start a business. They just want some time for themselves because they have sacrificed all of that for so long for their kids. And then there are the mums that are just like, I need a passion and a purpose outside of my kids. And so, you know, turning my hobby into a side hustle is something that I really wanted to do. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's like, I just want to, you know, travel around the world with my best friend or with my partner, or, you know, there needs to be something more there for me.
What are some of the more negative side effects you're seeing of, well, not side effects, effects of women who are in this situation, when you mentioned that they went from being the center of the universe to now feeling relatively ignored? What are some of the situations you've seen women find themselves in?
A lot of mums, they kind of feel, they feel a sense of abandonment, like they've, you know, and a bit of resentment too, because they've, you know, they've poured all their time and energy into creating this, you know, this human being. And I think they kind of expected that there would be a point where, you know, their kids would say, good job, mum. Thanks. I really appreciate everything you, but that doesn't actually happen. Like, it's just, I'm out. I'll see you next week, kind of, you know. And so there is definitely that sense of mourning. They're missing, you know, especially when the kids actually transition to move out of home. they really miss their presence in the house. And it's like, you know, what do I do now? And a lot of the time there is a disconnect between them and their partner because the kids have kind of been a buffer and it's like, oh, now I have to live with you. So there's definitely that sort of situation as well. But they do tend to feel just really lost. It's just like, I just don't know who I am anymore because I was the mum and I did that job so well. Like I was all over everything. I knew what everyone wanted, what they needed, where they were, where, how they were going to get there. I was the CEO of the entire operation. And now, yeah, I don't have that role anymore. I don't know what to do with myself.
You do hear a lot of stats about people leaving, you know, important, powerful positions in their careers. And then once they retire, there's like awfully fast death rates among some of these old people. Like once they give up the thing they've spent their entire life doing, then they can go downhill really, really quickly. Or like when you put an older person who's been living independently, put them in a home for the first time and they don't have to do the jobs, that's where they can really go downhill. So there must be, as well with the mums and the parents, like a big connection between purpose, having a job to do every day, and your mental, but I dare say even physical health.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's sort of, I think a lot of the time sort of being a mum keeps you on the go. Like I'm sure that you can relate to that with your partner. And as a dad yourself, like having kids keeps you on the go. And, you know, the older they get, the less that you need to physically do for them. And then, you know, I think, on the other hand, though, what we tend to do as mums when our like kids are older, the first thing we do is like, all right, let's focus on my health then, you know, because I that's the first thing that comes to mind with a lot of mums. But, you know, even that, it can be a struggle because it's like, okay, there's new habits that I have to form and there's self-limiting beliefs that I have to deal with. And I'm in my 50s. I don't want to go to the gym with all the, you know, tight ass, you know, tattooed chicks and like feel like a complete loser. So, you know, there's a lot of emotions and lots of different transitions there.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, straight to Lorna Jane, just to do a little shopping spree, join a yoga class, buy some little, pink dumbbells for home, the little 1 kilo. That's what my mum's done. She's got a great little setup at home.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay, beautiful, beautiful. It does make me feel, what were you like as a teenager? What were you, pain in the ass, do you reckon, or do you think you were maybe okay?
I wasn't too bad. Like, I was a pretty good girl. I was a pretty good girl. I did the usual stuff, you know, like a bit of underage drinking. I, like, tried smoking a couple of times. I was never into the drug scene. On average, I was a pretty good teenager. My daughter gives me a hard time, like I gave my parents a hard time, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. I was, quite the opposite. I think I was, had a lot of pent up energy. School, didn't work for me. I was, and the story I always end up telling when I'm on other people's podcasts is that I was super, I found school really, really easy. I got like full scholarships to private schools academically and just did not want to be there at all. So I just breezed through work without trying. And I was just the bane of my teachers and my parents' existence because I was like capable of so much more. So I naturally went into, you know, to the traditional skateboarding, rock bands, dumb clothes, piercings, I wasn't like a massive partier or anything, but I think I was just, the disconnect between myself and my parents grew massively. And I can specifically remember being like in the car with my dad, dropped me somewhere. We just wouldn't have anything to talk about in the car, which is super weird because like he was my absolute hero as a little kid. And then suddenly we're so different.
Yep.
So it does seem like a bit of a scary time for parents. So thank goodness there's people like yourself around. So before we get into everything specifically that you do in your programs with your clients, What are some of the, how would people become aware that this is actually a problem that they can work on rather than just a feeling that everyone gets?
Yeah, I think it's sort of, they start to, for me, and a lot of the mums that I've spoken to, it's, they start to ask themselves, like, is this it? Like, is this all there is? Like, I'm a mum, and then after that's done, there's nothing. And then I'm waiting around for grandkids. There has to be more to life than this. And they're just sort of, they've got that feeling that they're just constantly searching for something else. They're not happy. They're not satisfied with where they are and what's happening in their lives. And like I said, you know, you start to focus on your health and your fitness and you're like, okay, yeah, that's not too bad, but that's not enough. That's still not enough. So that's sort of, you know, what I tend to find, you know, with mums, it's sort of, they're just craving something else. You know, they're just constantly searching, like, you know, trying out a gym membership, trying out yoga. They try a lot of different things to just try and find what it is that works for them. And, you know, sometimes, like, for example, like my mum is a perfect example of what I'm trying to avoid, to be perfectly honest. Love you, mum. Sorry about that. But, you know, like after my brother and I left home, it was like it was her and dad and they were pretty much housemates. And her life revolves around jigsaw puzzles, bingo and, you know, cask one. And that's it. I'm here to look after your dad now, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's not where I want to be at her age. You know, I still want to be, you know, like going on adventures and traveling and, you know, experiencing different things and, you know, and helping people. Like I really like, you know, the coaching gig's not like, you know, being a builder or a plumber. Like I can do this until I'm 90, or until I don't want to do it anymore. So I think that's, sometimes women don't have that recognition. They just think, this is it. Yeah. Like this is the way it is. I think it's probably that sort of feeling is more predominant in like my parents' generation. I think nowadays we're more onto it. We're more like, well, I'm not happy. So let's do something about that rather than, yeah, this is just the way it is. So.
Yeah, well, you see that with people's career changes and fields of study changes so much more in kind of your generation onwards. People are, I think, what, an average of like four different careers in their life, that sort of thing these days. There's like the quarter life crisis and the midlife crisis. And people just, you know, they get up and think there's actually something I can do about this rather than saying this is my lot. I think you're absolutely spot on with that one. Do you think that money is a factor in people feeling that they can get out and do more and or feeling like they're unable to?
Yeah, I think it's definitely like a double-edged sword. Especially with the coaching game, I think that is like, as coaches, we are still looked at as a luxury and an expense as opposed to an investment. And, you know, you'll find that, you know, if people are unhappy or, you know, they're feeling a bit discontent, they will spend money, you know, gambling or smoking or drinking, but they won't invest that money in personal development. So I think for my parents' generation, money was definitely a restricting factor, like the not having it, because my mum never really had, she didn't have a career. She was sort of in and out of, you know, Coles as a checkout chick kind of thing. And then when it's really interesting actually now that I think about it, because when I got pregnant, my mum was like, that's it, I'm quitting my job. And she was in childcare at the moment. So again, getting a parenting job while she was waiting for grandchildren, she's like, I'm quitting my job so I can look after my grandchildren. And that was it for her. So, which is an interesting pattern for me to actually pick up on then. The financial, like doing that personal development thing, the finances were a restrictive barrier for them. And with women now, it can be both, you know, it's like I said, it can, like, coaching tends to be more of a luxury item at the moment. I don't think people in general understand the power of coaching and how people really need coaches. Like, you know, I've got coaches of my own. But I think that tide is turning. I think people are starting to recognize, you know, that yes, a gym membership is worth it, and yes, coaching is worth it, and you know, like online courses and that sort of stuff, are becoming really popular because people just want to be better.
Yeah, I think we're about 20 years behind personal trainers because people didn't, you know, now someone said they have a personal trainer, no one blinks an eye. But if you say I've got an empowerment coach, then, you know, maybe people are starting to recognize that as a good thing rather than a bunch of hooey that it was. And even when I got into coaching like 8 years ago, no one understood what I did. Like none of my friends and family, only the other people in the coaching space. Yeah. And then you end up just all selling to each other and it's all incestual and weird. So, let's get into that one. Because what we love to talk about on this show is how people promote themselves, how they find their clients and how they deliver to them. And, you know, with business coaches, with marketing, like what I do, it's just a numbers game. Business to business, easy. With things like health and fitness, it's kilograms and centimeters game. Easy. When it comes to bigger concepts like personal development, like finding purpose for mums who are feeling a little bit lost, this is a very, very intangible outcome of coaching, even though it's probably the precursor to getting the other things done. You know, they kind of need to come to you first to have the sense of self to do a business or to get their health in check. So let's talk about how you promote this one. So what's your primary sort of way of marketing yourself at the moment?
So at the moment, it's pretty much all social media. So Facebook, Instagram, I'm starting to dabble a little bit with LinkedIn. But I really struggle with just putting it out there. I feel like when I'm in LinkedIn, when I walk into a church, like, oh, I don't fucking belong here.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wear magic rocks in my bra and I put essential oils all over me. Like, this is not where I belong. But anyway, yeah. So that's primarily where I do all my promotion is online. I've started to get into networking. So trying to build referral partnerships with naturopaths and, you know, other businesses, that sort of thing. But I'm not going to shit you. It is a really tough gig. It is a really, really tough gig.
Yeah.
To generate, whether you call it generating clients or creating clients or attracting clients, because what we're selling is a transformation. And everyone uses a different language to identify how they're feeling and what they need. So it's really difficult to sort of, for some people, it's like, I just need a passion and purpose. For other people, it's like, I'm so disorganized and I feel completely out of control. For somebody else, it's like, I'm fucking bored shitless and I've got no energy. So it's really hard to sort of make that sort of message super clear. I'll be honest with you, like I've been in business for myself since 2018. I've been doing this full time. I have not been employed by anyone else since 2021. So we're like 2.5 years. Right. And I haven't had a paying client in that time.
Yeah, right.
It is really tough. It is really, really tough. And in that process, I've sort of morphed myself and sort of tried to speak to different niches of people, mm-hmm. sort of like parents like you with young kids, people who are pregnant. I'm like, don't make the same mistake I did. Like, try and get in there really early. But it's just, you're speaking to people who aren't even aware that there is a problem.
Well, that's it, right? It's the different levels of awareness. Yeah. And so the referral partnerships with things like naturopaths sounds really interesting to me, because these are people who are looking for an alternative solution and they're already kind of, their mind's already open to having some help in an area that is maybe not so traditional. So I think that's a really, really cool way in. What's up, guys? Alex here. If you're enjoying the episode, please don't forget to give us a subscribe on whatever channel or platform you're watching or listening to this. It really helps us to make an amazing show every week. Thank you so much. Back to the episode.
With the content that you're putting out, what sort of how do you make your content? What do you find gets the best engagement for you?
It's a lot of I really don't like talking to the pain points too much. Like, you know, if people are already in the shit, I don't want to make them feel shittier. But it's a combination of sort of, you know, trying to communicate that I completely understand where they're at, because I've been there, I've done it, and I'm living it right now. You know, not every day is like unicorns and rainbows. So it's definitely sort of speaking to, trying to be relatable, trying to be authentic, and just trying to like raise that awareness, like you said, that there is the possibility of being happier, more energized, more organized, more in control of your time and what you do with it. So that's sort of the kind of messaging that I use.
Yeah, and then living it is the best thing you can do, right? Just kind of walking your own talk and, you know, showing you got out there and created purpose, which everyone's got underlying somewhere, right? And the desire to whether it is find that purpose or pursue it. Because I suppose something that you come up a lot against, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that people would say, yeah, I've got, people always talk about finding your purpose, but that's not really the way most people talk. That's kind of like very coachy language. And when I'm honest on this podcast, which I am always honest, but what I try to be, what I talk about is my purpose in life definitely isn't to make Facebook ads for people. You know, I'm not under no illusion that I'm put on this earth to study pixels and do copywriting. However, in pursuing, I believe that the pursuit of goals and relationships and getting better at things and my business feeding other people's families as well, that sort of thing, I believe that is more in line with my purpose. And it's not, you know, that journey of you have to do only what you love every day. I reckon that's a bit of a coaching fallacy that people just sell nonsense, because no one loves everything they do about everything. So yeah, what about the argument when people say like, oh, I've just got, you know, tell you, I've got no idea what it even means to find my purpose. How do I know what it is? And how would I start to pursue it even if I did know?
Yeah, I like to sort of start with the end, I suppose, which is also kind of like a coachy technique. But it's like if you're lying there on your deathbed, like what is it that you want to have left behind? What is it that you are going to be most proud of? And are you doing that now? So like for me, it's like I want to live my best life. I want to have the freedom to do whatever I want. But I also want other women to know that that is possible, because I just think as a community, like, you know, when I'm living my best life and I'm supporting other women to live their best lives, then that just flows out, and, you know, and that doesn't just affect me, that affects my entire family, and that affects my daughter, because the next generation they're just going to be living at a higher level. So for me, that is what my passion and purpose is. I want to have a life that I have very few regrets, and that I have helped as many people as possible to live a life that they absolutely loved, doing what really meant something to them. So I think that's what it comes down to. Like, are you doing stuff that is really meaningful to you? That, you know, that you go to bed every night and you're like, can't wait to get up tomorrow, because I get to do more stuff that I'm really passionate about, that I really love doing. And I think, you know, we're a community. We're meant to be a community. Like, you know, I think that's part of the problem is we've moved so far away from what it used to be, where, you know, it took a village to raise a kid. And we're sort of separated ourselves now. Like, we've got screens, you know, in between us that weren't there before. And I think that's sort of, I think, what we need to move back to is that community, that sense of lifting each other up and helping each other out. And yeah, so that.
I totally agree. And while we do often talk about on the show how, you know, the virtual world and the normality of everyone working from their office has allowed us to connect and us to connect with people all around the world and share with people who we'd never usually get to, that's awesome. But it is very, very easy to never actually say what's up to your neighbors. And I mean, I'm 32. This is the first time in my life where I know the names of all of my next door neighbors and say what's up to them and have them over for beers and invite them to the girl's birthday party, that sort of thing. And it is really, really fulfilling, that sense of community,
yeah.
Right? And I think it's easier to attain than people think.
Yeah.
But it can be a little bit scary, like you walking into LinkedIn, you know, because everyone's kind of got their guards up a little bit. And you know whose fault it is? Network marketers, I reckon. I reckon everyone's trying to pitch everyone something. That's who's normally talking to your market, I reckon. You know, oh, you got nothing to do at home? Have you tried essential oils would really help. I do happen to sell them. But community. I just got this image when you said that of like a community of mums and you and them all like on some trek somewhere,
yeah,
doing some awesome, you know, just contributing,
yeah,
building a village in Senegal, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a reverse engineering that goal, right? That's that's super cool. And so what sort of when it comes down to things like what you do, they are once again big concepts. Rediscover purpose in your life. And with things like fitness and business, there are daily actions you do over and over again just to incrementally improve. What about in your space? What about in the sense of just finding direction, sense of purpose, re-energizing yourself when you're a bit lost? What are some daily things that we can do to help achieve those things?
Yeah, for me, the top three for me are moving. I have got to, like, first thing in the morning, I'm out the door, rain, hail, or shine, and I take my dog for a walk. And if I don't do that, not only do I feel guilty because, you know, she needs the walk, but I just, that's what wakes me up in the morning. That's what gets me going. And I have to connect with people. And it's only really recently that I've discovered how really important, like, vital that is. And it was interesting because, like, I was always a shy kid. Like, I would be the one that would be standing in the corner praying to God either that nobody saw me, or if they did, they really liked me. So I would, like, go out of my way to sort of, you know, stay hidden. But I think the key there is finding your people. And so I have to connect. I've got to connect with people every day. And also for me, it's, I'm really, sort of process driven. I have to have my checklist of things that I want to accomplish, and I have to actually see that I am physically checking those off. And I have made progress today. I have moved forward, whether that be, you know, in a health goal or, a work goal, you know, that kind of thing. I have to move forward. And then meditation for me is vitally important. And my yoga, I've got to do yoga at least 3 times a week or I start tearing people's heads off.
Yeah, well, so your physical health is such a massive,
yeah,
part of your mental fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, really tough when you are low on energy to actually get started, right? But in fact, it usually does the opposite. In tiring yourself out, you rejuvenate yourself as well.
Yeah, and I've been through the whole process where, you know, it's summertime, the alarm goes off at 5:30, and I'm like, like, it's dark. It's like, I don't want to get up. But I'm not a massive fan of Tony Robbins, but one of the things he does say is you never negotiate with yourself. Do not negotiate with yourself. And Mel Robbins is the same. She's like, 3, 2, 1, get up. And you're going. Like, once you're in that motion, then, you know, if you get up and go to the bathroom or whatever, it's like, you're up now. Don't go back to bed. You're up. Get dressed. Get out the door. So, yeah, it's definitely, like, that's one of the things I definitely work on, is just don't negotiate.
Some of those really simple sort of coachy concepts, while they might sound a bit cliche to us who've been in the game for ages, for your average person who's not in this online space of audio books and podcasts and Facebook lives, simple advice like that can really be game changing. You know, for someone who just works in a customer service role in an office building and gets the train to work and then goes home and then does their thing because it's so easy, something like get up half an hour earlier, don't negotiate with yourself and hop in a cold shower can be an absolute just gateway into a whole new world of possibility for them. So I don't think that coaching needs to be grandiose and reinventing the wheel every time. It can be as simple as that. And that's what, I mean, your terminology was empowerment and accountability. That's really everything we need, right, to get started.
Yeah. And the accountability part is super important for me because, I'll be completely honest with you. Like, I was fucking miserable for years because my happiness was the lowest priority. I taught my family that that's where it belonged, at the bottom of the to-do list. And I resented everyone and I was angry all the time. And it wasn't until I realized that I had created that. Like, at no point did my husband and I sit down and he's like, right, now we're together. You're responsible for my happiness. You're going to do, you know, the majority of the parenting and you're going to clean the house. Plus you're going to work. Like, this is the way it's going to go. That was just what I did. And so that was what everyone got used to. And that was what everybody believed was supposed to happen. So that was a choice that I made myself. So the accountability part was a huge game changer for me. It's like, oh, hang on, I chose this. So now I'm going to choose something different. And everyone is going to have to just suck it up.
Well, let's talk about that preemptively for people, you know, who are not in this stage yet. But for myself, my wife, our friends, we've all got young kids now. I mean, I've got my business. My wife's got her career. We're busy. You know, we do our thing. But what do you have that we can do preemptively to avoid getting into that same situation of always putting ourselves last and training our family that that's the case, so we don't end up then one day empty nesting and completely lost for what to do?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it sounds like, you know, the typical old thing that everybody pulls out, but the communication is super important. And, you know, I wish one of the things that my husband and I had have done when we first got together was to actually sit down and go, okay, so when we have kids, let's talk about the split between the parenting and the working and who should do, you know, be doing most of it and that kind of thing. And I really think that those kind of conversations are super important because we have these expectations that we have, you know, when we go into a relationship, that we learn from our own parents who were only doing, you know, the best that they could at the time. But things have changed so much now. Like, you know, my mum was happy, you know, the majority of the time to just be a stay-at-home mum. But that's not the case anymore. And it's certainly financially, a lot of the time, not possible. You need, you know, at least 2 wages to get by these days. But I think it's a lot of communication. And it's sharing those, you know, we sort of share, like, oh yeah, when we retire, we'll go traveling kind of, you know, conversations. But I think we really need to have the really deep conversations about, you know, this is what I'm really passionate about. And this is what I would like to be able to do while I'm a parent and while I'm still working. I would like to, you know, go traveling, or I would like to, you know, whatever it is. I'm like, the conversation I had with my husband was, you know, I want to go on a holiday to Italy for 3 weeks with my best friend and I want you to stay home with the kids. And my husband was like, okay, do we need to get a divorce? because you want something that I just, we're on completely different paths. So obviously we don't, we shouldn't be together anymore. And I'm like, hey, hang on. And so, you know, it's, and then straight away it's like shield up, sword out, like we're going in. Like, whereas, you know, if we had have had that conversation earlier where us, you know, we had have said, I want a life outside of this family. I want to have an adventure. I want time with my girlfriends. That is what I need to recharge. And that is what helps me. I think that's what mums really struggle to understand is the concept that they teach you on an aeroplane is when the mask drops down, you put your own mask on first, then you worry about everyone else. And I still struggle to, like, I'm thinking if this plane's going down and the masks drop down, I'm pretty sure I'm going to grab her face and stick the mask on first. I can get, like, but it's the same in life. Like, unless you really nurture yourself, nourish yourself, take good care of yourself, that's not a selfish act. That is, you know, giving your family the best version of you because that's what they deserve. So I think that's the kind of conversations that we need to have with our partner is you need to be the best version that you can be. And what do you need to do that? And I want to be the best version I can be. So what do I need to do that? And let's like make that work. Let's make sure that that is a priority and that fits into our daily routine. Because at the end of the day, if the washing sits there for a week, who cares? Like it will get to it eventually. But what's important is how we're feeling and how we're communicating and how we're doing.
100%. Yeah. I was thinking about a guy I used to work with called Travis Bell, the bucket list guy. Don't know if you've come across him in your online travels. He's legend. Travis Bell, TED speaker, travels the world doing awesome things. And he's got a coaching program called the Bucket List Challenge or something. And basically, what he does is he helps you to achieve all the things you've ever wanted to achieve. Create your bucket list and do it. And he kind of scares the hell out of you to get you to do it in the first place. But I asked him when I had him on my podcast when I first met him, I asked him a question which I thought was going to be unique. And he's like, oh yeah, I answer this every day, which was, I've got my bucket list items, but also I've got wife and kids. I want them to come along with me and do different things. He's like, you got a bucket list, your wife's got a bucket list, and you have one as a family. You know, you've got stuff that you're going to all commit to doing together. And by, you know, communicating, like you just said, like the things that you really want to do, you can work towards it. My wife really wants to get back into horse riding. She was a dressage rider. Then we had kids. And so now she's trying to get back into that. So slowly we're taking the girls to visit the horses on the weekends, that sort of thing, and get them around. And that's kind of inspiring her to, you know, I want to give her a kick to go and buy some riding boots again. And it's not easy, you know, to find all the time to do all these things. But I think that she's got that, to kind of understanding that she's going to be able to, the encouragement that she's going to be able to do that again soon. Yeah. And myself, I mean, I just want to, you know, basically get outside as much as possible. And no one ever stops me from, say I'm going for a walk or I'm going to go to the gym or I'm going to go, you know, jump in the ocean. And those little things, I think just using what you've said to reflect on my own family, I think communication is working out really well for us right now, but I can see so easily how it could be a pitfall. So I'm really glad you mentioned that one. Did you ever get your trip to Italy?
I did.
I bet you did. I bet you did.
And it was fucking awesome. And
where'd you go?
We flew into Venice, and then we went to Venezia in Cinque Terre, and then we went into Florence and Siena, Orvieto, down to Naples, down to Sorrento, back up to Rome, and then home.
That's basically what we did on our honeymoon. What a beautiful, beautiful trip, right?
So good. So good. It was, yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely.
What year was that?
2018.
2018. I was there in 2019. Yeah, beautiful. So, you know, before the shit hit the fan and it was, Yeah, what a romantic little place to be. I'm glad you got to do that. And so you're saying, Tanya Biddle, that it's possible. That it's possible to be a parent, have a life of purpose and excitement outside of that, both during your kids' younger years and afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just possible, but I think it is essential. It is essential so that we can show up fully as the parent that we want to be. Because for so many years, I was the grumpy, snappy parent that was always exhausted and always short-tempered because I just wasn't doing enough for myself. I wasn't living my passion and purpose. So it's definitely possible and it's essential.
I think that's a really, really good message, that not only possible but essential. And I think that's a something we all can remind ourselves on a daily basis, us dads as well, not just to take away from mums, because I love mums. I'm surrounded by women nonstop. But I think maybe in this work from home environment, as a very good thing, a lot of us dads are in the trenches big time, at least myself and my friends. We're all half an eye on the computer, half an eye on the kids quite a lot of the time as well. And it gets very tricky. Because you feel like you're doing a shit job at both.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, you do, yeah.
But, yeah, it's inspiring to talk to people like yourself who just are aware of the problems that can arise and decided to do something about it, and not only do that, but share it with others. So, yeah, thank you so much for giving us your insights today. And, yeah, just being a beacon of hope for the parents out there who have just accepted their fate. That's really, really great to hear all the cool stuff you're up to.
Fantastic. It's been absolutely awesome to chat with you, Alex. I've loved it.
Goes fast, eh?
It does. Yeah.
Like that. I wanted to get into like Instagram envy, and I wanted to get into
everybody yourself to everyone else, and yeah.
Well, let's do 2 minutes more.
Okay.
With your mum, you said that she was happy to stay at home as a stay-at-home mum for the most part, as was mine. You didn't have Instagram, which, double-edged sword again, can inspire you to do other shit or make you feel bad that you're not doing it.
Yes.
So it was more of a comment than a question, but I'm sure you got thoughts on what I've just said.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of, I think for the most part, the downfall of Instagram is a lot of the time you don't see the ugly shit behind the camera and the real shit behind the camera. And it's, you know, like, I'm not a huge fan of selfies. And if I take them, you know, I'll take, you know, half a dozen and just go, yeah, they're all crap, so I'm not putting up any of them. But I can guarantee that there are people out there that take hundreds before they actually upload the one that they are happy with. So I think it's good to give you inspiration and to give you ideas and to like to direct your attention to something that you may have already been like have in the back of your mind. It's like, okay, well, I could follow that thread and that'll take me somewhere where I was intending to go anyway. But yeah, on the other hand, it's sort of like all these beautiful people are living a beautiful life, and here I am fucking stuck in the burbs with my kids who are, I love them, but they're assholes most of the time. And like, you know, you're just scrolling and feeling more and more shitty about yourself. So I think it's, you know, it's a great tool, but I think it needs to come with awareness of like, not all of that shit is real. You know?
Yeah. 100%. And every now and then they'll come across inspirational posts like what you're doing, which is a mixture of vulnerability and encouragement. And then I think with the, you know, the rise of long form conversation like this one, it allows people, if they give it the chance, to hear about the messy shit as well, which is amazing. And so I'm really, really glad to get into that stuff as well. And thank you for your vulnerability, talking about things like arguments with your husband, that sort of thing, the way you felt, and also the results in your business. Really, really great. Because as we see, especially in LinkedIn, everyone is just kissing their own ass all the time, and not always the case. So we got to wrap it up there, Tanya, but thank you so much for being on the show today. We're going to make sure that any links that we need to are in and around this current video that you're watching. I really hope that you know, you have just a wonderful rest of the year. And I think this thing's going to blow up for you very soon if you keep doing stuff as powerful as you did today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Alex.
We appreciate you, Tanya Biddle, and I appreciate you if you are watching on the recording or if indeed live. We love you for that. I'll be back on Thursday with another lovely guest on Coaches to the Moon. But until then, thanks you so much for listening. Much love. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.